the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I love that song that is an invitation to come to the altar. Amen. Praise the Lord. I have wonderful memories over the years being raised up in church since I was just a small kid of experiences around the altar. As even a little boy, I don't know how old, but very young, just being around the altar, just being there even with my mom as a very small kid, and just experiencing good things in the presence of the Lord. We don't want to lose that. That's such an important thing. Too often we just dismiss ourselves and we forget about that the altar is where we come and we ask the Lord, Lord, all the things that I've heard today, all these wonderful things that you've spoken to my heart, Lord, confirm it in the altar. Make it real in me, in the altar. Amen. Do it in me and change me and do this wonderful work in me. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. We're going to the book of Jude today. If you want to look there with me, it's the small little book just before the book of Revelation, the book of Jude. It is an important message, an important book just before all of the messages to the churches in the book of Revelation, all of the wonderful words, the prophetic messages that are given in concerning the last days that are in Revelation. Jude has a very important message. We won't have time to go through, even though it's just 25 verses, it is power-packed. It's more than we could cover in a service today, so we're going to just look at the first few verses and then the last few verses of the book of Jude. Read with me in Jude, starting with verse number 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's skip over to verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers, there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Praise God. May God bless the reading of his word today. Jude was the half-brother of Jesus. He had other siblings. Of course, Jesus was the Son of God by Mary. But Mary and Joseph had other children. mentioned in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 3. There was Jude, there was Joseph, there was Simon, there was James. And then the sisters aren't mentioned, but it says sisters. So there was more than one. So we don't know exactly how many siblings that there were. At least six siblings in his household. But notice here at the beginning of this message from Jude that he didn't use the family card. You know, I am Jesus's brother. He didn't do that. He just calls himself a servant of Jesus Christ. You'll notice in other places in the Gospels that those siblings of Jesus at first didn't really believe that Jesus was the Messiah. But later, they were convinced that he did, that he was who he said that he was. But he's given a message here, and this message is really important. You notice how he says in verse 3 that he gave all diligence to write to them concerning this common gospel. It seems that what Jude was intending to do at the beginning was to write another gospel like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that he was going to write of this common salvation. He was going to write from his perspective. That's what the other gospel writers did. It was filtered through their personalities. It was the message from their viewpoint, from their experience with Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the same, sometimes the exact same encounters, they gave it a little bit different perspective. And so Jude said, I started out with a great deal of effort and diligence. I was going to write to you of this common salvation, but I was compelled. I saw the need to, instead of write this message of our common salvation, to instead give you a word of encouragement, to tell you that it's important for you to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So that's what he did. He wrote this short little message that is a message telling them not only about his gospel knowledge and gospel experience, but really how important that it is that we defend the gospel, that we be defenders of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we should earnestly contend for the faith, which means we have to be willing to put up a fight. Now, we are living right now in a world that is really dominated by an Antichrist spirit. We are living in a world that is opposing the things of God, the Word of God, everything that we preach and believe and have lived by as Christians. This world opposes it. And not only do they oppose it, but now they have become very emboldened in their opposition. How did that happen? Well, he says certain men crept in unawares. At first, it started, you know, just kind of unassuming, just kind of snuck in the back door. And we didn't think that much about it. But then it becomes more and more evident that the spirit of the age is becoming more and more dominant and influential and affecting the world, affecting the society, and affecting the culture. Remember, we must earnestly contend for the faith. And so it's not important what you think about it. It's not important what your opinions are. The important thing is that we stay true to the purity of the Word of the Lord. We have to be defenders of God's Word. And so when you hear someone say, well, what I think is this, that's not the issue. The issue is what saith the Word of the Lord. And in these times, it's very important that we be true defenders of the faith, that we are fighting this fight for the faith. It's a fight for the truth. It's a fight for what is right. There is a defense of the gospel that is necessary today. It's not really my preference. I would rather just tell you all about the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ. I'd rather just preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that would be my preference. But I understand that there is an enemy of the gospel. There is an opposition to the gospel today, which makes it necessary for you and me to declare that we are going to stand true with the word of the Lord. We're going to defend it with our whole heart. He said, at first I was going to write concerning this common salvation, but then it was more needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you would earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Sorry to say, but a lot of folks think that it's old-time religion. We don't want that. We don't want that message that was preached 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. We don't want that which was once delivered unto the saints. But there has to be a commitment to the purity of God's word, the truth of God's word. Again, it's not important what you think or how you interpret it. What's important is what does it say? What thus saith the word of the Lord? And that we are defenders of the faith. We've got to earnestly contend for the faith in these last days. Amen. Praise God. Let me just insert this here for what it's worth. It is important for you to pay attention to and to give great heed to spiritual counsel. God puts leaders in a position for a very distinct purpose. Hebrews 13 and 7, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give an account. That means every spiritual leader and authority that God has put in your life, whether it be your parents, maybe it's your teacher, certainly it's your pastor, it's the elders, it's the church leaders that God has established, that you pay attention and you do not disregard what they're saying. You do yourself great harm when you push aside godly counsel. You do yourself great harm when you ignore the counsel that comes from spiritual leaders your way. And today, I felt so compelled in my spirit because I see the trend. I see what's happening in the world. Jude saw it, but apparently others of the church didn't see it. And so he saw his responsibility was to warn them and to challenge them. I was going to give you a message concerning my own salvation experience, but instead I was compelled to warn you and to encourage you to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Amen. Hold on to the truth. Hold on to God's word. Get a hold of it. Get it deep down in your hearts. Remember convictions. Remember what it was like that God spoke to your heart through his word. And then you had certain convictions in your heart. And you were not going to waver from them because it was important for you to follow your convictions that were based upon the truths of God's word. Sad to say, convictions are going out the window. Convictions are being forsaken and forgotten. It's important that we live our lives according to the word of the Lord and take good counsel. Now Jude, he doesn't mince any words here talking about these false teachers. These false teachers, he said, have snuck in. They have gotten in. How did they get in? I don't know how they got in. Maybe it was through TV and radio preachers. Maybe it was through certain books that you have read. Maybe it's certain preachers that you watch on the internet. But somehow, truths that have been instilled in your hearts have been compromised, and you have changed, turned away from those things. Jude says they just crept in and snuck in, and before you know it, you've let your guard down, and now you're accepting things that you would have never even have considered before. You're accepting them as if they're okay, that you would have never, ever considered ever before. It doesn't matter how that it's got into your mind, into your heart, into your spirit, or how that has affected you. Jude is warning us, take heed to the word of the Lord. Read the word of God. Hear the word of the Lord. Stay true to it. Commit yourself to God's word. Earnestly contend for the faith. Now notice how he speaks about these different false teachers. In verse 4, he calls them ungodly. In verse 8, he calls them dreamers or out of touch with reality. He calls them in verse 12, spots in your feast. You know, that was describing things offered to the Lord that were not worthy of being offered, spots that were offered in sacrifices. He called them also in verse 12, waterless clouds. Also in verse 12, fruitless trees. And in verse 13, raging waves and also wandering stars. I mean, he did not at all leave it to question what he thought about these false teachers. He said, for whom the blackness of darkness hath been reserved forever. So basically, he just said, they are all bound for hell. All of these false teachers are reserved for darkness. They are headed for hell. He doesn't leave any room for any debate here. Amen. He just tells it exactly how it is. It's an important message concerning these last days and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important that we stay true to God's word, read the word of God, and understand that there are, in these last days, a lot of spirits, a lot of voices, a lot of teaching, a lot of things that are out there that are not biblical. They are not God's word. And for the most part, many of us, most of us know better. Those things were taught to us, and we have known them. They were once delivered to the saints. We have known better, and we have turned our back upon the truths of God's word. Jude says, earnestly contend for the faith. There are some things that we're going to have to be willing to fight for. Amen. We're going to have to be willing to fight for traditional marriage. We're going to have to be willing to fight for some of these things that the culture today is wanting to introduce to us and make us think that they are normal. Let me tell you, this world has lost its mind. This world is upside down. And what's so unbelievable is they want you to believe it. They want you to accept it as normal, as reality. But we have a responsibility in these last days, and it may cost us. We may have to pay a tremendous price to declare from the pulpit, or for you to influence your family to stay true to the principles of God's word. It may get really tough. So Jude is saying, earnestly contending for the faith. Make sure, folks, if we don't stand up for the truth, it is going to be lost in a culture of indifference and hatred toward the things of God and toward the word of God. And so it's important for us to be a people who are standing true to the word of God. Notice this. He said, there are certain men that have crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Or in other words, God has never accepted it. They have been condemned from the very beginning. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. What is it talking about? It's talking about the fact that these are teachers and influencers who are turning the grace of God into something that God never intended it to be. God never intended the grace of God to be a license to do what you want to do.
The grace of God is not a license to say, oh, I love God and I'm praying. You know, it's like even some of these people in Congress that are saying, I'm a person of prayer. I pray often. And then the next thing you know, they're voting for the most wicked, evil bill that you could ever imagine. And everybody's thrown into confusion. I thought that they were a person of prayer, but then they're making decisions that are wicked and evil. That's the generation we're living in right now, who wants to say, I love God, and then before the day is over, they're involving themselves in every wicked vice you can imagine, doing things which they know in their heart do not please the Lord. Amen. Remember, all these things that are coming our way, false prophets and false messages, whatever the source of it is, whatever you're hearing, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't watch certain preachers or listen to preaching or read good books. There are a lot of wonderful things that are available, but everything that comes into your heart and your spirit has to pass through the filter of God's word. Amen. It has to. Amen. And when you're sensitive to the voice of the Lord, you'll hear it. You'll hear some preacher or some teacher. And as soon as they say something that is not in line with the word of the Lord, you're going to catch that. You're going to be sensitive to that. You're going to recognize, wait a minute, that's not what we believe. That's not what the Bible teaches. We don't accept that. That's not God's word. We are to earnestly contend for the faith. Amen. One of the problems is the whole problem of rationalization that's going on in our world today. We rationalize sin. We accept sin and things that break the heart of God, and we accept them into our lives. You know, spiritual truth is spiritually discerned. It's spiritually understood. And if you're not a person that's after the things of the Spirit, if you're not a person that's in the Word and interested in the Word of the Lord, then you're going to be easy prey to many of the things that are coming along in these last days. You're going to swallow it completely. You're going to rationalize it. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him." That's where we are in our world today. They make a mockery of the Bible. They think it's foolishness. They think it's outdated. They think it's not something that's important. But godly people, spiritual people, people who are born again and who love the truth, these things are spiritually understood. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. They can read the Bible, they can read what it says and make a mockery of it because they don't know the truth because they are not godly spiritual people. Spiritual people walk in truth. They walk according to God's word. He said they have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. They have turned the grace of God into a license to do wrong. Oh, I'm okay. I'm saved. It's okay. I'm covered. Almost as if the grace of God is an insurance policy that you've got that covers everything. Well, yeah, I know I didn't do everything I should do, but the grace of God is not to give you a license to sin. You're not covered if you're rejecting the word of the Lord. It is not, the grace of God is not a freedom to do whatever you want to do. The grace of God is not a license to choose and do what you think is right. The grace of God is power in our lives. The grace of God is power in our lives that causes us to be able to please God, to obey God, to follow his precepts and his purpose in our life. We must earnestly contend for the faith. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, we are living in some very, very critical times, very serious times. This is no time to be taking it lightly. We need to be very concerned about the direction of what's happening in our world today that's even influencing and affecting the church. Now, he gives three examples here, and I didn't read them as a part of the text, but he gives three examples of some who did not stand strong, but instead they caved into the influences around them. The three examples, first of all, verse 5, he said, I will therefore put you in remembrance. Let me just remind you, he said, I want to remind you, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. So that's example number one. He said, the children of Israel were delivered from Egypt's bondage. I brought them out of that bondage. I brought them across the Red Sea and through the wilderness and brought them all the way up to the border of the promised land. And then the spies went in. 10 of them came back with an evil report, only 2 with a good report. Those with the evil report influenced all of the whole nation. And they turned their back. Instead of going in and entering into the promised land, they died in the wilderness. That entire generation died in the wilderness. So he gave the example of the children of Israel who could have entered into the promise of God, but instead they turned around. They were influenced by the circumstances and by, I guess we could say, influenced by the culture of the day. They caved in to what everybody else was doing, and they were destroyed in the wilderness. Then he gives the other example. Look at verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved an everlasting change under darkness until the judgment of the great day. So the second example were the angels. 1/3 of the heavenly host were influenced by Satan's rebellion against God. Satan wanted to exalt himself. I'll be like the Most High, he said. He wanted to exalt himself, and he influenced 1/3 of the heavenly host. They were expelled from heaven and now in chains under judgment in darkness. And that was the judgment that came to them because they were influenced to do the wrong thing. Just like the children of Israel, 1/3 of the heavenly host caved in to the influence of Satan. Then he gives the third example, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So there's the example of the children of Israel who were affected by their influence, the influence of the day. Even 1/3 of the heavenly host influenced by satanic rebellion. And then Sodom and Gomorrah influenced, that city influenced by their decision to participate in strange flesh, perversion. Today's society is very much a very perverted society. Even the Supreme Court says it's okay and has accepted a perverted lifestyle and perverted marriages. And even though it is pushed today, accepted.
What happened? I turned it off. Okay. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time. Now, it doesn't feel good at all to be made fun of. But there's this warning about the last days. Standing for the truth, you're going to be set up to be made fun of. To be mocked. And that's what he said. That mockers, mocking the truth, mocking the word of the Lord is going to characterize these last days. That there would be in the last days mockers who should walk after their own ungodly lust. It's so unbelievable to me that we would be in a society where those who walk in righteousness are made fun of, and those that are doing evil are honored and given respect. It's a twisted world that we live in. And Jude says, we're going to have to fight. We're going to have to put up a fight. Now, we know that this fight is not a flesh and blood fight. I'm not suggesting that it could be. You try to fight this in the flesh and you're going to lose. But this is a spiritual fight that we're in. And the only way that we win it is by the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. And so we're going to have to be able to persevere in an age where they are mockers and they're ridiculing and making fun of the things of God, making light of the things of God. We're going to have to persevere in that time and be able to resist and to fight in the Spirit. Stand up in an age that is so challenging. That's the age that you and I have been called to be a part of. Amen. To stand up for the truth. But ye, beloved, building up yourself. So our focus doesn't need to be upon all that's happening around us and those that are making light and mocking, but instead our focus has to be upon building up ourselves. Amen. In our most holy faith. Amen. Getting stronger. Being able to fight. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Glory to God. Let me tell you, folks, it's such an important thing that we be Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, Spirit-directed, that we know how to do what we're doing in the power of the Spirit, because our fleshly efforts are going to fail. But if we can pray in the Spirit, we're going to make a mark. We're going to make a difference. If we're walking in the Spirit, we're going to make a difference. If we're being used of the Lord in these last days, if we're going to be able to resist the spirit of this age, it will only be by the power of the Spirit. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Amen. God wants us to be strengthening ourselves, building ourselves up, getting stronger in the things of God. Do you know that this last year has been a year, and you know, as I have reviewed many of the things that's happened over the past year, I understand that there have been a lot of decisions made, some of them by officials, government, but I also have witnessed what I believe has been a diabolical plan of the enemy, and that is to keep folks from their spiritual source. I'm not saying you can't pray at home, you can, and that you can't worship at home, because you can, and that the live stream isn't valuable, because I know that it is. But I also know that the enemy wants to weaken the church. He wants to weaken the people of God. He wants to weaken you so that when all these things come against you, you are not able to withstand the forces of the enemy. The call of God, Jude says, what you need to do is build yourself up in your most holy faith. And then you can be a voice that speaks to a world that is in need. Amen. Glory to God. Verse 22, and if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh, that there are people all around us, all around you. See, Satan wants to silence the church. He wants to intimidate the church so that we don't follow through with the call of God and the purpose of God. Amen. And to keep us from doing what the Lord wants us to do, and that is reaching out with compassion for those that are in need, those that are lost, bringing them into the kingdom of God, bringing them into the altars where they can seek God and get help in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Earnestly contend for the faith. It's a big challenge. It's a big challenge in the times that we're faced with right now. But I believe the Lord can empower us and strengthen us to do what He's called us to do in these last days. Amen.
Let's believe God. Let's stand together today. Father, we thank you for the plan of God and for the word of God. And Lord, we want to build our lives on your word. I know there's a lot of things that are happening in our world, in our society, our culture, Lord, that are pressing on us and pulling at us, trying to get us to cave in, trying to get us to accept and to believe the many things that are being accepted by the world today. But Lord, I know that you've called us to live a life that's pleasing to you, to walk in purity, to walk in holiness before you. And I pray, Lord, that you'd stir the hearts of the church and help us today, Lord, to recognize, Lord, that if we're going to be able to resist the enemy, if we're going to be able to stand up and to fight and contend for the faith, we're going to have something fresh and new from you, Lord, in our lives to be able to face the challenges of this last day. Lord, in Jesus' name, do a work among your people today, we pray. Jesus' name, we want to open the altar and welcome everyone that would come in around these altars and this call upon the Lord. Amen. Asking the Lord, strengthen us, Lord, for the fight. Build us up, Lord, for the fight. Give us power, Lord, to be able to face this current generation, Lord. Lord, that is opposing God and mocking, making a mockery of the things of God. Lord, help us to be able to stand true to the word of the Lord, no matter what this world is doing, that we stand true to you, Lord. In Jesus' name.